And there you have it. We're off and running. That's the official start of our question and answer period. As again, I said, you folks may not be used to having us around at this time of year and having the opportunity to ask a question, but maybe you just tuned in and you're kind of, you know, you're getting yourself all set. You've got your libations and the munchies are all set there and you're getting ready for the big, game that's coming up. You've got your green and white on, and in a little more than an hour, Michigan State University is going to be taken to the field.
And what better way to spend that time than to be right here, and you can be interactive. This is the radio where you can call in, and we'll talk back, and we'll go back and forth,
there
and we'll
you go.
Solve your problems. And
there you go.
Well, and then in a little more than an hour goes, that's the pregame here.
That's right. That's the pregame here. But, I mean, people are going to be around and tuned up for that as well.
And they only have the pregame because they want to give Gary enough time to drive home and get into his easy chair to be able to watch.
That's right. Get my munchies together. Yep.
Thank you, by the way, to Eric Dorsch and Shannon Bailey, who are handling the show behind the glasses. We say Eric is the engineer and producing the show, and Shannon is the very friendly voice that you hear when you call in. And here's the number, 800-859-0957. Shane, what kind of questions have you been fielding this week before we get to Ruth in just a moment here? Out at your shop, Comtech Services.
Still a lot about Windows 10. You know, people are still leery about it and just have a lot of questions, you know. And I think once you sit down with them and go through it and just explain a couple things, it just kind of clicks with them, and they're good.
Mm.
But initially, I still think a lot of people are scared.
I was just seeing statistic this week that for the first time, I don't know if it's for the first time, but there has been a definite uptick in the Windows 10 and a consequent downtick in Windows 7. You're beginning to see the big move.
Well, people wait because there have been times that new operating systems have disappointed.
Yep.
Really?
Right? Yeah, it has happened.
Probably even from Apple.
Was probably something on the Vista, but I don't know.
No one was disappointed with Windows 9, though. That's
true.
Because there was no Windows 9.
And it ended in the last quarter.
Yeah, that's right. Good point.
I believe they're
actually
getting...
But now people are starting to say, oh, well, all of us here moved to Windows 10. A whole bunch of other people they know have moved to Windows 10. Now it's safe to go back into the water, right?
I don't necessarily think that
Windows 10.
But I don't think I hate to think they were caught off guard, but I think there's more people going to it now than before because they're having problems with the rollout. They've actually pulled a lot of the upgrade features from their website now.
Who's this?
Microsoft.
Really?
Yeah, for this last week. I don't know if it's a bug or a crash or something.
I've heard that.
They used to be able to go to. You could sit and wait for them to tell you, hey, it's kind of ready. But then now when you go, it's still not ready. And if you go to the website, you can download this little tool that will actually initiate it. That no longer works.
So I just did this less than a week ago for somebody, and it worked fine.
Yeah.
Like it always had.
This week. Yeah, I mean, last 4 or 5 days.
So something happened, I guess. Well, I wonder when that's going to go back. Because it's been like that. It's been good
It's been really good.
Let's get to this conversation. Continue it in just a moment. But Ruth has been waiting patiently here.
Okay.
Again, our phone number, 800-859-0957. Hi, Ruth. How you doing?
Hi, not too bad. How about you?
Good. Good to have you with us. Thank you. How can we help you?
Well, I'd like a little update. I always used to hear that getting more bandwidth was not always a good thing because it depends on the websites you visit and how fast their servers are. You can't go any faster than what they're, sending out to you. And I was just wondering if there's more, if a lot of websites have upgraded so that isn't such an issue anymore, or whether just automatically jumping to the highest bandwidth that you can get is not,
Is it worth the investment?
So, I think that you need to have reasonable bandwidth on the last mile because the backbones are getting better and faster and bigger. The servers are getting bigger and faster and better. You're going to be most of the time you're constrained by the bandwidth to the last mile. That's the one. That's the part that you have control over by saying, I want more bandwidth from my upstream provider. So I kind of think of it almost as like when I was getting ready to buy an airplane. You know, you always buy the fastest one you can afford. and I almost violated that rule. And it was a simple rule, and I almost violated it. I'm glad I didn't. Right? I couldn't afford a very fast one, but I bought the fastest one I could afford. And I do the same with bandwidth personally. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I mean, with media nowadays, with media getting more and more rich online, and more they're crunching and crunching and trying to get as much as they can to you. Opening up that bandwidth is like, you know, you're going from a 2-lane highway to a, you know, an 8-lane highway, really helps. I mean, if you're downloading music or movies or Netflix, you tend to get less, you know, caching or waiting for Netflix to catch up to itself. Things just tend to run a lot smoother when you have that bandwidth.
Cal, and your thoughts? Greg, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ruth. Pardon me.
Well, I just happened to think, too, with the is it HTML5? Is that what they're using now for a lot of the websites? Maybe with that, it also provides a lot more speed, maybe.
Well, it does handle the content a little bit differently than the old way, and it does tend to render things a little differently when you're visiting a website. But most websites, you can have a fairly slow internet in those websites. Because you always remember, as a web designer, you always build for the slowest customer to go to your website. So when I build a website, I don't build for the person that has the highest internet speed. I kind of build for someone in that low end so that they get just as much of an experience at my websites than someone else would.
Yeah, which means you don't load it up with a lot of graphics and very detailed graphics or something difficult to load. So actually, I think HTML5 isn't the constraint. It's really the last mile bandwidth. Yeah. So okay. I would get as much as you can afford.
Okay, Ruth?
Well, can I just say one thing to make a statement before I leave?
Sure.
Because you reminded me of that. Oh, my gosh, it's unreal. Some of these websites you go to, they've got videos running, and a lot of them have the audio that automatically goes on.
Yeah.
I mean, you feel
so
like
so don't go back
just
to those, right? Send them a message. Don't go back to them.
Exactly. That's my whole point. I mean, this is just so filled with everything that everything's a distraction, and you no longer have access to the content because, oh, boy, you know, don't get me started. You know,
on Facebook.
I just thought as long as I had an audience, I
you'd rant a little bit. That's okay. You get to rant.
but that's so true.
I mean,
Ruth, you probably know this. I don't know if you've ever opened up one of those websites and gone to one that automatically the audio goes off. You happen to be at work? It's like,
I know.
Oops. Everybody knows.
The other thing, too, it makes me crazy nowadays with Facebook. They audit, you know, there is a setting. I have not found it yet, but there is a setting that won't shut off those darn videos.
It's like Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, because as you go down, you're scrolling down your news line.
Yeah, they automatically.
They automatically run. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry, I'm easily distracted.
Look, there's something shiny.
That's exactly. Squirrel. gone. So you can, apparently on Facebook, you can go into the settings and shut that down.
Video, with Facebook video, they're always constantly tweaking it and trying to come up with a good way to give you that media, that content, without interrupting your browsing. I know just last night my daughter noticed that now if she's watching a video on Facebook, if she starts to move away from that video, it actually drops down to a little teeny window.
Oh, really?
Like a picture-in-picture window while she screams.
No.
So they're doing all kinds of ways to keep giving you that video, but let you continue on with your
day. We're learning.
And again, underlining the point of getting as much bandwidth as you can in that last mile. Ruth, thanks so much. Have a great holiday. Thanks so much for being with us. Hey, Tom in Dearborn and Elaine in Bloomfield will be with you as well in just a minute. I'm fascinated. Tom's got a question about the dark net. That one I want to get to. All right, coming up again, our phone number is 800-859-0957. We'll be around here for roughly another hour until 6:30 before the pregame starts for the MSU-Iowa game. And this is the Internet Advisor. Our homepage is internetadvisor.net. And if you have a question that you'd like to put into us, now is a good time to get it on the air with us at 800-859-0957, or during the week or any other time, simply go to internetadvisor.net, click on the contact button, and send us an email through that with your question. Back to start taking some more calls in just a moment. Thank you so much. Cal Carson here with us in studio as well, along with Shane Hamlin. Shane's kind of the expert on Windows. Shane works at Comtech Services out in Shaner in Sterling Heights, and Cal is our Apple expert. So if you have a question about a Mac, Although he also helped me just a moment ago to stop the darn Facebook videos from running automatically. And Cal, just quickly, let's run through how you do that.
Sure, it's real simple. When you're in your browser for Facebook, click on that little drop-down menu where you would normally click to log out. And just above it, you'll find a selection called Settings. When you click on that, you'll have a column on the left-hand side of your window. And at the very bottom, it says Videos. You click on that one, and then in the middle, you'll see it says Video Settings, and then go to the one that says Autoplay Videos, click the default button, and then select Off.
Yep.
And then that way, they won't automatically play
for automatically you. Play and disturb you. Squirrel. Ah, there we go. All right, let's go back to our phone numbers again. Our phones again, 800-859-0957. Tom in Dearborn, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Hello.
Hey.
Is there such a thing as the dark net? I've seen that on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard about drug dealers.
Yep.
And if so, if there is such a thing,
mm-hmm.
how do you get there, and how do they avoid the search engine?
Very good question. Shane, you want to take a crack at this?
Well, yes, and yes. I mean, is there a darknet? Yes, there is. We've done shows on that before.
Yes, exactly. That we did.
And basically, without getting too much information, it's dark for a reason. I mean, there's only bad things that come from this. There's certain browsers that only access the darknet that you can download
mm-hmm.
And use on your computer.
What browsers are those? Not the normal
correct.
Google Chrome no. or Safari?
Correct.
Well, you can use them to get to some, but it's
there's browsers like Purple Onion. I think is one of them that will actually allow you to view dark net content
mm-hmm.
the way it's set up in the proxies and everything like that.
What
is it? You have to put in their IP address to get to their site?
Yeah, because they don't have, I mean, the whole idea of the dark net, different than the deep web, is that it's very hard to figure out who's behind the site. You can't go to whois.org to figure out, you know, who's the common name for it, the URL, so you have to put in the IP address. So you have to know what that IP address is in order to go there. So they don't make it easy because they don't want everybody in there, although, mm-hmm. you know,
it's their
not,
private little world.
It's not terrible. You could, you can use Tor. There are many other ways you can get to it.
Now, when you made a distinction, Gary, for just a moment, and let's do this quickly for the sake of our listeners, et cetera. Tom, Gary, you mentioned the deep web
yep.
versus the dark web. And I think when we had our guest on at the time, they described this as almost like an iceberg,
right.
that the part of the internet that we hit is that part that's above the water, and that below the water is a whole vast connection.
And sometimes it's not insidious. This isn't,
no.
There's nothing wrong with the deep web. It's just it's not useful to most people. It's just sitting out there. You can get to it if you want to. Sometimes it's just boring statistics, right?
This would include university libraries
right.
or special research
yeah.
areas.
Stuff
you know,
that
like
doesn't
that.
Normally hit, you know, when you see 1 million hits on a term that you type into Google, well, you only go to the first three pages or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the last 997,000.
That's the rest of the iceberg.
Yeah.
The hundredth zero.
Yeah.
The hundredth O.
So,
the search engines do pick them up?
They do in the deep web, not so much on the dark web. In
yeah.
fact, most search engines specifically exclude trying to go into the dark web at
right.
all. And it's
right.
for obvious reasons, you know, it's not necessarily a good place. People end up that go there end up getting more viruses,
yeah,
other Trojans.
Right.
You got to be careful. You got to kind of know what you're doing.
You're swimming with sharks at that point.
Yeah.
You
want to beware of the power of the dark side.
Well,
so we're not going.
I guess I can keep watching that CBS show, CSI Cyber.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I really enjoy that show. It's kind of scary, as a matter of fact, sometimes when you think of what
yeah.
can happen down there. But yes, there it is real. The dark web does exist, and it's called the dark web.
And you can buy. You know, it probably you could buy your own credit card number back. You know, who knows?
you definitely want to make sure, in all seriousness, if you're going to dabble around in the dark side, you probably want to make sure that you have all the latest virus protection on the machine.
Yeah.
In my opinion, if I was going to do that sort of thing, I would probably just get a separate machine just for that madness.
Yeah.
and I wouldn't intermix anything else in my life with it.
You are definitely.
And just be really careful what you do because you don't
well,
want.
You know, I'm old and I'm retired. I have way too much time on my hands. Uh-oh.
So you just don't want to be in a situation where you get a knock on the door and it's the FBI. Because you're playing someplace where they are watching you because they're watching.
Heavily,
all right, Tom, safe surfing for you, but it is a very interesting question that you have asked. 800-859-0957.
We skirted that. I mean, yeah. we didn't give them a real answer there.
We kind of
don't want me to go in there.
Yes, yeah. Can I make a bomb on the internet? Please don't go there.
Don't go to those sites. Yeah. Greg, you're going to be tracked from now till...
Oh, heaven help us. The
NSA, well after you die.
The NSA will find you. Yeah. Greg from Plymouth, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How may we help you?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
You were talking about Windows 10 earlier.
Yeah.
I upgraded to Windows 10, and ever since I did, every time I hit the return button on the keyboard, my cursor freezes for about maybe 10 seconds, 15, before it'll then move. Have you guys heard of that bug?
Yeah, that's not long enough for you to go to the fridge, so I don't think that's a benefit.
Yeah, it doesn't let me get up and do anything.
That's exactly it.
That's right. Yeah.
No potty breaks, no nothing.
Normally, exactly. Normally, right after an update, when you do an update to Windows 10, when you start noticing these little glitches or errors, and that's normally because Windows 10 didn't translate a driver properly.
That's right.
Whether it be your touchpad, your mouse driver, screen, graphics card, I mean, something like that. So what I would, have you ran, when you did the update, did you go in and force and look for updates yet?
I have not.
Okay. So basically what you're going to do is at the bottom right or bottom left, there's actually a little Ask Me search bar. You're going to type in Windows Update, and you'll see the app for Windows Update, and you're going to open that up and tell it to look for updates now and run those. And you'll probably see, you know, a touchpad, nav touchpad driver or something like that. Let it do its updates and see if that takes care of it. Because whenever you say mouse... we're talking a laptop, correct?
Yeah, it's a laptop.
Whenever we talk mouse and hesitating and mouse locking up or lag or something like that, it's usually the touchpad drivers are not correct.
To fix this, could he just reinstall Windows 10 right over the top because it might pick it up? Or do you think that it was not corrupted, it is a driver problem?
I think it's just a driver problem. I've had a lot of people have a ton of problems with trying to reinstall it go back to Windows 7 and fix. It makes it worse. Just try to address the mouse first, see if that's it. See if, you know, you can actually go into your device manager and just uninstall the mouse driver and let it reacquire itself when you restart. Sometimes that'll take care of it, you know. But
very good.
But try your driver. Try to do a Windows. Force the Windows to run its first update and see, you know, if that helps. Because I know Windows, I guess Windows big update is coming soon. So
that may occur a number of these things. Greg, I wanted to chime in as well. I just was listening to a podcast, mm-hmm. and they're talking about a problem that exists where the pointer disappears on Chrome in Windows 10. And then what I put in, pointer disappears Windows 10, into my Google search. I should have done Bing. That probably would have helped.
Mm-hmm.
But in any case, there are a number of issues with mice, the mouse freezing or disappearing on Windows 10. So I have a feeling that we have an update coming that is going to be dealing with this in the near future, Greg. So hang in there for that, okay?
Very good. Gentlemen, thank you. I appreciate the help.
You're very welcome. That number again, by the way, here is 800-859-0957, and we will be around to 6:30 before the big game.
I'm sure Greg's still listening, but also, you know, try plugging in an external mouse.
Oh,
see if that helps.
Right.
Try a
little
wireless mouse.
Potentially, right?
Yeah. See if that takes care of it. If it does, and all of a sudden it's now external wireless mouse is working, then you probably know it's touchpad mouse is driver issue.
Then you got to go to the
because
driver.
And
now, can he go back and go to the manufacturer and just download a driver? So if it's a Dell, go to the Dell website support, put in your tag number, and it might give you a driver?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, you know, once in a while, I don't know if this is the same situation, but I've had a touchpad go bad, you know, act like it's gone bad. You put an external mouse, you go to the control panel, and look, there's a button in there to click to turn the touchpad back on, and then it's working again. So you may want to check that as well.
Good point.
Noticing, by the way, on that laptop that Ginny got, the HP,
yeah.
There in the corner of the touchpad, there's a little light, and when that light goes on, apparently, mm-hmm. the pointer disappears? Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's auto disappear. So it
I can't get it to go off again.
It's probably in your going to the mouse control mouse and touchpad okay. settings, and it's probably setting in there.
Okay.
That will take care of that for you.
And you search for that in the same place in the bottom left hand side.
That bottom left hand corner search, you can find everything.
It's the key to everything. Yes. I love it. 800-859-0957. Jesus from Detroit and Elaine from Bloomfield. We'll be back to talk with you in just a moment. Just in general, if you have questions for us on the Internet Advisor, and we're not always available on Saturday afternoons to answer your question because of sports schedules, and soon it will be basketball. They'll be pushing us around a little bit. We still are here every Saturday for 2 hours between 4 and 6, and you can get your question to us by going to internetadvisor.net and then clicking on the contact button, which is on the upper left right-hand side of the page there. So go to internetadvisor.net, click on contact, and then you can go to the form there that will get you put your question in. What helps us, by the way, is to know a little bit more about what you're using, a laptop or a desktop, the kind of machine you're using, and the version of the software that you're using. That always helps. So put that in there along with your question, and we will get back to you as quick as we possibly can during the week. Again, 800-859-0957. Folks, thank you so much for sticking around and joining us here. Or maybe if you're just gathering and getting ready for the big game, some good news for you. If you happen to have a problem with your computer that you've been dying to ask somebody, or maybe you want some help with a buying decision coming up for the holidays. Shane is, all of us here can help you with that, but Shane in particular works at Comtech Services, which is a computer shop out in Sterling Heights on Shaner, mm-hmm. near 18 Mile.
Yes.
And he every day is helping people make buying decisions with computers and probably can help you with that.
We had a lady who listened to the show from Taos, East Taos?
Yeah.
From
no
from
kidding.
The show, yeah. Come down to the
show. But you don't have to stop in the shop. You can just stop in the show here mm-hmm. at 800-859-0957. Cal, in particular, is an expert in the background with Apple computers as well. So if you have a question on that side, he's there as well. Now, this may be a first for us on the Internet Advisor. Jesus, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Thank you for taking my call.
Very glad to have you with us. Tell me, what's your question?
Well, it keeps coming on my screen. It does it about 20 times a day. That the page is unresponsive, and I can kill it or wait for it to respond. And it also it comes on screen for me to stop the plugins.
Uh-huh.
And AT&T, they're my internet provider. Right. If they come out for the service, they will charge me $99.
Yeah. Okay,
and,
so we want to see.
Chrome is my browser, and cool. I have an AC laptop computer and Windows 7.
Okay. Very good. Windows 7 laptop, okay. How old is your computer?
I bought it in, 2012.
2012. Okay, good. It's not that old. Okay, good. It's only 3 years old. Let's, guys. What are some of your thoughts? Are there some other questions you need?
Yeah, I mean, are you using it wireless at home?
Wireless?
Is it? Yeah. Are you plugging a network cable into your laptop to get online?
Yeah, I plug a cable into it. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's from your what is it, AT&T, correct?
From a modem.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you're hardwired, so that's a good thing. So it's not your wireless that's an issue. Have you tried a different browser? You said you were using, Google Chrome?
Yeah, Google Chrome.
Have you tried, Internet Explorer?
Well, they told me that Google Chrome is the best... is the best browser.
Yeah, well, everybody has opinions, but right. I'm saying Internet Explorer just because for troubleshooting sake.
Yeah, and Jesus, what we try to do, by the way, is that we try to encourage people to have more than one browser on their computer so that when you run into a problem like this, you can always go to the other browser, whether it's Internet Explorer or Safari or Opera, whatever it may be, and try to do the same thing. And if the problem isn't being, you can't repeat the problem, and it gets fixed, then you know the problem was in the browser.
Correct.
So you understand why we say
the
that?
Browser.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you, Jesus, does this happen often? Like, is it constantly doing it?
Yeah, it happens. It happens often, yeah.
Often. You know, it's very well possible that you could have a modem issue. You could have a bad modem. Is it like random sites, like you're trying to go to normal sites like, you know, AT&T, you know, CNN?
Yeah, I want to try to go to normal sites. So.
Okay, yeah, mm-hmm. All right.
So could this be just some sort of temporary, should be remove temporary files? Would that be a potential fix?
He could possibly open up. See, I would like to see if it works. I would like him to try Internet Explorer.
Yeah,
that would be his first step. Try Internet Explorer, and then try to go to some of those search engines like Google or Bing or some of those websites. Go to websites that we know exist that are safe, like CNN.com or Bing.com
or AT&T.
Microsoft.com or AT&T.com.
Or InternetAdvisor.net.
InternetAdvisor.net. Try to go to one of those sites that we know is clean and is up and see if it works.
One of the things that strikes me is you mentioned, Jesus, that it was a plug-in. It says that there's a plug-in problem. That, to me, says that it's in the browser.
Right.
That it's a plug-in in your browser that's gotten fouled up.
Okay, so I don't use Chrome on a Windows machine. Can you go in and reset the browser to default, and then so it'll start over fresh?
I believe at the very bottom of the tools in the Chrome, it says restore.
Good idea.
Reset it.
Yeah.
Try to do that. I don't use Chrome a lot because I'm a Microsoft kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I believe if you open up Chrome, Jesus, and go to the top right corner and scroll down, you'll see where it says reset, and you just touch it, and it resets itself, and it should start working.
Try some of those things, okay?
Okay.
And that give that a crack, especially if you try another browser. You could go to the Internet and download Internet Explorer, or if you're on Windows 7, it's already in your machine You can just go in and restore it from there.
And if none of those things work out for you, just go to our website somehow with your phone, or even once it's working, and just let us know, and maybe we can troubleshoot a little bit further for you.
We'll try working on that for you, okay?
And then once we figure this out, go back to Chrome, right?
Yep. Then after you figure it out, yes, exactly, you may be able to go back to that. Thanks so much for being with us, Jesus.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see if we can wrap up this hour quickly with Elaine from Bloomfield. Elaine, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Oh, thank you. I have a Surface Pro 3, and I listen to, like, Mark Levin at 8 o'clock at night.
Yep.
And there are times when I get on, you know, I either go into times and stations, mm-hmm. or I go into the search and just do WJR.
Right.
A pop-up shows that I'm connected, but I get no volume.
Yeah, you're having trouble catching the broadcast stream, right?
I guess that's what you'd call it.
How do you access that show on WJR? How do you access it?
I usually I can go into the search, you know, and put in WJR.com or whatever.
Yeah.
And or else I will go into all times and stations for Levin.
Yep. Exactly. Well, you're going through his website and you're catching the stream there.
Either way, that's
one way of doing it. Do you have the app for iHeartRadio on your computer?
I think I signed up for it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because iHeartRadio, I believe, is also where it goes. If you go to WJR.com, we have an app there, a mobile app for our station. Mm-hmm. Have you gone to see that?
No.
Well, that might be another way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Of going to WJR.com, and then there is an app that they have there. It's interesting. We were talking about mobile apps in the first hour of our program, and this is an excellent reason why, is that individual stations and businesses and individuals and programs now have their own app, and through that, you can get to not only Mark Levin, you can get to all the other programs that are on the station.
But the thing is that this past week, when I couldn't get him through WJR, mm-hmm. I went back to the times and stations, and I switched to a Tennessee station.
Yeah, yeah.
And the same thing. No, well, There was like a box with these,
right.
like a graph with red.
Yeah, okay. Has it happened often? I'm going, Kel, your thought.
Are you
It happens probably about once a month or so.
Okay.
Are you getting sound from any other source?
I haven't checked. Not that I know of.
Like if you go into your browser, go to YouTube, will you actually hear things playing?
Uh-huh.
Because the volume on your device may be turned down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, somehow my volume is always up. Okay. I always check that.
And then have you rebooted your machine?
I tried that.
And it didn't work.
Okay.
I was wondering whether I should go to the Microsoft store in Troy and have them do some kind of testing.
No, I don't think that is the issue. I am... My guess on this would be, and we'll see if we can noodle this a little bit more, and you can send us an individual question, by the way, through the contact form, and we'll get back to you during the week.
But you always can go to that store, and they'll help you.
Yes. The Microsoft store is great for helping. My sense is it may be the stream itself, the source of the program, may be having trouble, and that happens every now and then. Elaine, we've got to step out for a break here in the news at the top of the hour, but we've got another half hour of our program coming. So for the rest of you out there, if you'd like to give us a call, we'll be here for the next 30 minutes after the news, 800-859-0957. Thank you for being with us here for the extended version of the Internet Advisor. That means that we're going to be here until 6:30 when the pregame show starts for the big Michigan State Big Ten Championship game that's coming up. But in the meantime, for those of you who happen to be hanging around right now, if you have a computer problem, here's a number to call, 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. It's a whole group of people standing by here to help you get some answers. Thank you so much for being with us for the third hour of our program. Shannon's already breakdancing in there. Thank you very much to Shannon Bailey and to Eric Dorch, he has really been at the wheel for a while here. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And it's quite a sacrifice for a newly married young man to be doing that kind of thing. Thanks, Eric, for being with us. Our number here is 800-859-0957. We've got Gary Baker, Cal Carson, and Shane Hamlin in studio here ready to answer some questions as we're kind of motoring towards that big game coming up. And pregame show will start very close to the bottom of the hour, and we're going to get to our callers. And, let's just jump right into it. We've got Lloyd from Canton with us. Lloyd, thanks for being with us here on the extended version of the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Okay, I'm an old World War II vet, and I'm not too sharp. But I've got the Microsoft 10, and I have to type in a code before I can open it up. Now, how can I do that without it? I didn't when I had 8.
Well, thank you first. I'm going to, while Shane and Cal are thinking about the answers, I'll thank you for your service in World War II.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much.
We really appreciate that.
We appreciate it, And for your sticking around for the new technology as well. My dad My dad was a World War II veteran, and he loved getting into computers. He was into them in the late 80s, and he saw me getting
into... Well, that's me, too. I'm 94.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
I love getting into computers. iPad also.
I love it. You are rocking this. You're rocking this whole world, Roy. We're really grateful for that. So your problem is when you try to sign in, you are being requested to put a number in there, right?
A code in.
Yeah, a PIN of some kind.
Well, yeah, it's Microsoft 10. I switched from
You went from 8 to 10. Now, how did you do that? Through the download procedure, the upgrade procedure?
Yeah, right.
Boy, that's strange that it's asking you for an access code because it really shouldn't.
The first time I put it on, it didn't ask me, and I went pretty good for a while.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden it started to ask me. I took it off and put 8 back on, which was easy to do. Mm-hmm. And then now I put 10 back on again, and it's asking me again.
Wow. Is it asking you for a product key to activate Windows?
The Windows comes up, and it's got a little box there which says, type in your code.
No,
and
that sounds like
type in a code, and then it'll come up.
Yeah, it sounds like the PIN number is what they're looking for, personal identification number.
You're probably right, but it's
now when you went, Lloyd, when you went,
it's a regular code like you put on your
like when
email.
When you log in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it have your username sitting there?
No. All it's got is in the right hand corner on the bottom. It's got two little things that says. You want to go on the internet and one other little thing.
Yeah,
that's all it's got. And I tried everything, and I Maybe I'm stupid. I don't
know.
No. Get it off.
Lloyd, you are anything but stupid. You are
Thank
a bold
you.
Man. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, without seeing this particular incident, I mean, you know, when you say access code, and it could be PIN word or it could be password.
I would say more like a password.
Yeah. Is Windows is Windows running at this point?
No, I don't have the computer on. But
No. Is the Windows functioning? Can you open?
Oh, yes. Once you get on, it's perfect.
Okay, so are we talking about maybe your internet password?
And what do you type? What do you type in? Or do you just bypass it?
I type in a. For instance, it says a 7 or 8 letter code. You got to have so many numbers and so many
and
words.
Do you type into it? What do you type in?
In order to get into it. And then when you do that, it comes right up.
Wireless, I think.
No, I'm thinking it's his Microsoft password that for some reason it wasn't entered in before. Mm-hmm. Do you know
when the first time I had Microsoft 10, it didn't do it.
I know, but Lloyd, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
And what I'm going to do is this. We'll probably wrap up on this, and then I want you to email us so we can deal with this a little more detailed.
Or hang on during the break.
Yeah, but have you ever entered your Microsoft password in? You know the number that gets you into Microsoft?
Yeah, I can get that.
Okay,
yeah.
Try that, Lloyd, okay? And then what we're going to do is we're going to put you on hold.
It,
are you sure?
No. Okay. I can't do nothing.
Oh, wait. Have you tried using your Microsoft password in that box?
I think this is probably my Microsoft password I'm using.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like about 8 letters long?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay. Then let's do this. We're going to put you on hold, okay? And then what I'm going to do is this. We're going to try to get hold of you during the break. We'll make sure that you can get hold of us by email, and then we're going to look at this and see if we can find an answer for you, okay? So we're going to take a break in just a few moments. Our number here is 800-859-0957. We've got a whole bunch of people, Doug and Wixom and Gary and Hudson and another Gary in Oxford. We're going to try to get to you guys as quickly as we can before we break for the game and say goodbye. But remind you that you can go to the internetadvisor.net website and go to the contact button there. And once you hit that contact button, you can put in all the questions you want. And then after that, send it off to us on an email. And we can take some time to answer this, which is what we do during the
week.
And
even when we're not on, when we're preempted and there's a basketball game on.
Between 5 and 6.
We will be here in the studio between 5 and 6. And we'll pick up the phone if you call us during that time. So remember the number for next week or 2 weeks from now or whenever we're preempted.
All right. We're going to try to get back in just a minute and take as many of these calls as we can before we break off. But thank you so much for joining us for this supersized Internet Explorer. Internet Advisor with Foster Brown, Gary Baker, Cal Carson, and Shane Hamlin back in just a moment to help. First of all, thank you so much for all the folks who are calling in. Doug, Gary, and Gary will be getting with you in just a moment. But first, we want to take a little business here. The ladies from the Michigan Council of Women in Technology had a competition going this afternoon for high school girls in web design. And we promised we would acknowledge the winners. And Gary, let's you and I try to do this like they do on the Emmys, okay? In the 2015 advanced category, the winners... First place, $750 and a paid summer internship at Comerica Bank, goes to Jillian Ritchie from Clarkston High School. Congratulations, Jillian. Second place, I'll try this one.
You'll try that one, okay.
Yeah, second place, $500 scholarship goes to Sadia Jiban and to Maliha Latif. Congratulations, they're from Fitzgerald High and then also from Fitzgerald High.
Yes, Santia Stewart gets $300 for third place. So not only are they having fun learning a lot, it's financially rewarding.
And honorable mentions go to Caitlin, I think it's Bernie, or Baron, and Olivianne James from Lakeshore High School, Shreya Mulapudi from Farmington, and Varmitha Hulathi from the International Academy East.
And I'm really glad you're doing that.
Okay. The 2015 beginner category, you can take that one.
Hannah Watkins, first place. Yeah, let's hear it for Hannah.
Lakeshore High School,
and $400 for first place winner in the beginner category.
And Madison Worthben was in second place, also from Lakeshore High School. And then third place was...
Carolyn Schuling.
Very good. And honorable mentions?
Canton High School.
Honorable mentions to Kate Bartley in Heartland High School, Jocelyn Schlosser from Canton High, and Summer Nguyen from International Academy East. Way to go, young ladies. You have done yourselves proud, and a lot of very deserving young women there.
And boy, next time, get involved. So that's the Michigan Chapter of Women in Technology, MCWT. Go online, and if you have a young lady, these are lots
excellent,
of fun. So.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks, Gary. Okay, let's go to Doug in Wixom. Doug, let me see if we can help you quickly here before we break away for the game. And this is iPod stuff we're talking about.
That's correct. Yeah, my wife has, I broke my computer, and so she had a computer, and she, I guess she did what she calls, she mirrored it. So I have, like, her iTunes library, and then I have my old, you know, iTunes library from my old computer on an iPod, and I want to go to the iTunes store and stuff, which I can't, because she told me if I, once I plug in, you know, I've been charging it from the wall outlet, but once I plug in, I will erase her library on that computer, which I don't want to do.
Right.
But I still would like to go to the iTunes store, because on my old computer, I did have, I was signed into it, and, you know, I had a balance, and I could order new songs and all that stuff.
Gotcha, gotcha. Cal, thoughts?
Are you using a Windows or a Mac computer?
That is very good. I think it's Windows.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, as long as you have another login ID or user ID that you're using on that machine and you plug your iPod in, then it should create a Windows library, I mean a iTunes library under that ID only, and have no effect at all upon her ID. And her Windows.
And shouldn't her ID make her safe? Her content is still in the cloud in iTunes.
Yeah, under her Apple account, she can create a secondary profile and have it be him, you know.
She can make another profile and make it let it be me. I just want to make sure the one I plug my iPod in, it doesn't, detract from her library. Right.
Well, let's be real quick about this. Let's make sure we understand that with any kind of these kind of things, make sure your backup is up to date, okay?
Okay, thanks again. Sure appreciate your show all these years.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Gary in Hudson. Gary, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Can we help you?
I just had a comment on that problem that Jesus had there.
Yes.
Before. I have the same thing happening, and I'm using two different browsers, and that keeps popping up.
Oh, in both of the browsers?
Yeah. Plug-in. You need plug-in or something like that.
Yeah.
And so what do you do to get around it?
Ignore it.
Just ignore it. Okay. All right.
That's it. So you can keep on marching on then, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it'll come up 2 minutes later, and then you just
so check it off. What you got to do is you got to find
else.
So you want to find the plug-in, put it in so it doesn't keep bugging you, right?
Well, is that what I don't do? Know. I don't want a plug-in. It operates with a plug-in regardless of what site I'm on, I'm using.
Well, how about this? We suggested this to Jesus beforehand. And by the way, we're being straight, folks. This is a gentleman who called in from Detroit and identified himself that way. That you go into each of the browsers, go to the settings, and then try to set them back to default.
Reset them.
Reset them to default and see if that helps you. Have you tried that yet, Gary?
I haven't tried that. No, I give up. You know, I've only been on the computers every day for 50 years, and there's always something different coming
up. Yes, you're right. It's always something. As Rosanna Dana used to say, it's always something different.
Well, don't give up. Jesus didn't give up. You shouldn't either.
All right, Gary, thanks so much. I'm glad you have you've soldiered through for the last 50 years on this. Hey, folks, it has been a ball being here for a little bit extra time. We normally are on the air on WJR from 4 to 6 on Saturdays with the Internet Advisor. When you can't hear us, we're still here recording a program that is a podcast that can now be heard on the iTunes library, or you can simply go to internetadvisor.net and you'll find a whole list of our podcasts there.
And just real quickly, I just want to let everybody know that on December 20th at 3 p.m. we'll have the Mac group meeting. Dave McGuire will be presenting information about OS 10 for the Mac, and I'll be doing a presentation on backup, and we'll both be talking about viruses and malware.
Go ahead. No, go.
No, you can get all that information at internetadvisor.net. We link off that to macgroup.org. It's on you.
Oh, me?
Yes.
You know what? I talked about it earlier before the show. Looks like my old video gaming show is going to be coming back on the air.
Oh, yes.
Pwned Radio.
Wonderful.
On our Podcast Detroit network.
Yes, podcastdetroit.com is the network that we're on now as brand new network. And Shane is coming back with after his gaming show. Woohoo! We will definitely have to promote that. Gary, Cal, Shane, thank you very much. Shannon and Eric, thank you as well for making this show possible. And the rest of you, go green.
Go green, go white.
Go white. Have a great night.